Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, it is my joy and delight to come to you with studies in the book of Galatians, the epistle of Paul to the Galatian church, which is an amazing epistle. I'm sure you're finding that out by now. And possibly some of you haven't enjoyed some of the things that I've had to say from the book of Galatians. And yet, I want to tell you, my friend, the thing that I'm greatly burdened about is that God's people will give Christ his rightful place and acknowledge the sufficiency of his work for us, for time and for eternity. And that sanctification of the believer's life is by the Spirit, not by keeping the law of Moses. Now, we've been following this through. At the beginning of chapter 5, the first 11 verses, we had seven things that happens if we put ourselves under the law as a rule of life. And then in verses 12 to 15, we found that the gospel gives me a new motive, and that new motive is love. And then the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God, causes us to walk in the Spirit. Verses 16 to 26, that is the Spirit of God governing our lives. And I would like to continue that again today. The exhortation is to walk in the Spirit. And again, may I repeat it? Every believer, the young ones, the strong ones, the babes in Christ, the stumbling ones, everyone who really loves the Savior, your body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. He indwells you. And I want to mark again that putting down the flesh does not cause you to walk in the Spirit. It's not the eradication of the old, but being victorious over the old, over the flesh, by the Spirit. And again I say, in the measure that we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, in that measure we find deliverance by the Spirit. Now, in discussing this, I'd like again to suggest you do not walk in the Spirit by putting down the flesh. I want to get that very clear in your mind. But as you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let's put it the right way. And I use John the Baptist as an illustration of this in John 3:30, where John says, he must increase and I must decrease. Now, it isn't written this way, I must decrease so that he must increase. No. He must increase. And when he increases, then I get out of the way. It's a logical thing. That's the way God moves. Now, in verses 17 and 18, we find there's a warfare going on. I want you to mark this. There's a warfare going on. We had this in chapter 7 of the book of Romans. Romans 7, you remember, when I want to do the right thing, I do the bad thing. And when I want to go here, I find myself going someplace else. Here we have two opposite principles of operation. Will you notice this? The flesh lusteth or desireth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. Now, this is a warfare going on. And remember that grace is not the strength of sin. The law is the strength of sin. Again, I quote Corinthians 15, verse 56. I wish I could put into words the way I feel about this portion of Scripture. I wish I could get into people's minds, and dear people who want to please God, you want to live holy, you want to live a life that will glorify God, and yet you find yourself doing things you don't want to do. You hear yourself saying things you don't want to say, and you get discouraged. Now remember, the danger is to put Christians under the law to make them behave. No, my friend, remember, the law is the strength of sin. Grace is the only principle that God has given to us to deliver us from the lusts and desires of the flesh. Allow me to repeat something that I said before in one of these lessons with respect to God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Spirit, and in their opposition to three great enemies. In the Epistle of John chapter 2, starting in verse 15 through 17, we find that the Father is in opposition to the world. It's always this way. You never read of the Spirit of God in opposition to the world, but the Father is in opposition to the world. You have Christ in opposition to Antichrist, as found in 1 John chapter 4. And then we have the Spirit of God in opposition to the flesh. There's a warfare going on. We want to recognize this. If I were to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, you remember from verses 10 to 18, we have a warfare against principalities and against powers, against wicked spirits in the heavenlies. And we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to defeat the enemy. But now we're dealing here with a question not of satanic forces in the heavenlies, but we're dealing with the flesh, which is not yet redeemed. I want this clear. Every one of us on the face of the earth, I don't care how much you love the Savior, you are living in a body that is not yet redeemed. You are living in a body that has desires and it has lusts. You are well aware of this fact, of course. So am I. And how can I live a life pleasing to God in spite of a body that wants to go in the opposite direction? That's why the Spirit of God indwells every believer. And as I walk with God, for to walk in the Spirit means to walk in fellowship with God. You remember that verse in Romans 1:17, also in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, where it says in Romans chapter 1:17, in the gospel of Christ is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Those who are saved by faith shall live. Now in Hebrews chapter 10, 37 to 38, I read, he that shall come will come, speaking of our Savior on his return. He that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just, the saved, those who have been justified, shall live by faith, or by faith shall live, not by works. We're not saved by faith, and now you're on your own and do the best you can. It doesn't say you're saved by faith and then keep the law of Moses, the rule of life. It doesn't say you're saved by faith and then strive to be religious. It says you're saved by faith and you continue in faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. And as I walk in fellowship with him, for that's what the life of faith is. The life of faith is a life of a believer walking in fellowship with God under any circumstance in any age. Whether it be Noah, or Enoch, or Abraham, or Moses, or Elijah, or David, I don't care who it is. It's walking with God in spite of the circumstances, in any age. Your environment has nothing to do with it. It's a thing of the heart. You can walk with God, in fellowship with God, in your home, in your office, in the shop, in the plant, wherever you are. You can walk with God. This is a life of fellowship. I don't mean that you've got to get on your knees all day long and pray, though that wouldn't hurt you once in a while, I grant you that. But that isn't in fellowship. That's praying. That's a ministry of intercession. But a walk of fellowship with God is walking in the will of God, being obedient to the Word of God. And as far as you know, be submissive to His will. It's a life of faith. This is walking in the Spirit. Let the Spirit take over. We stop our deadly doing and trust Him to do the job. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Walk in the Spirit. And there's a battle going on. And the flesh, I grant you this, the flesh resists every inch of the way. I think of dear Moses in the book of Exodus when God said to Moses, come now, it's time to move, get busy. And Moses said, who am I? And God said, I'll be with you. Well, who are you? And God gave him the revelation that he was the Jehovah, the always I am. And then he began to hide behind the unbelief of the people. You find the flesh resisting every inch of the way. He said to God, the people won't believe me. They didn't believe me at 40 years of age. They're not going to believe me now at 80 years of age. And when God answered the question and gave him some signs that he would be with him, Then he resists even further and says, well, that's all right, but I can't talk. You remember? And the Lord was very angry with Moses. He said, why not call Aaron your brother, and he's a good talker, you go on with him. You see, we resist. I know in my own circumstance, I didn't want to be a preacher. I was perfectly satisfied with the job I had. I had a good job, with good wages. Who wants to be a preacher? But you know, when you begin to yield yourself to the Lord, He directs your path. He puts your feet in the path He wants you to walk in. And that's the place of joy. That's the place of blessing. That's the place of usefulness. But you've got a resistance. You've got a flesh that will fight you every inch of the way. I want you to know that. I want you to be realistic about it. It's going to be a warfare. People say, why, Mr. Mitchell, when I yielded myself to the Lord, I thought everything was going to be so easy and so wonderful, and I find that I was in tests all the time. In fact, I've had a harder time since I yielded myself to the Lord than I had beforehand. That may be true. Do you know why? Because once you yield yourself to the Lord, you're going to have some opposition. And your opposition is from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And now, here we have it, the flesh fights the spirit, and the spirit fights the flesh. These are contrary. They're two absolutely different principles. Now, the law works on the ground of works. Grace works on the ground of faith. And the Spirit of God who indwells you will do the job if you just let Him. Then starting in at verse 19 to 21, we have the works of the flesh, which are manifest. And we'll stop right here today. And again, may I urge you, to just put yourself in the hands of the Lord for today. Never mind tomorrow. Don't bemoan yesterday. If you sin, then confess your sins, be cleansed, and go ahead and walk with God today. Walk with God just for today. And then tomorrow, face another day and put yourself in the hands of the Lord for Him to work out His life in you. And I'm sure the Lord will fill you with real joy and thanksgiving.